We have so much going on. We don't know how to plan. We don't know how to say no. We just think that if there's 5 minutes, we should fill it with something. And so we just run all the time. Now, here's what's interesting. I recently learned about a statistic, a research study that says that busy people are often bored. They're just bored in life. Just boredom sets in. It causes people to want to just sit down and they lose focus and they lose the desire to be better and to accomplish more because of this busyness. Now, if you're caught under the burden of busyness and you're bored under that burden of business, this message is going to be for you this morning. Now, really what we're talking about is getting bogged down. We get to that point where boredom is weariness, and we don't find ourselves being fulfilled, and we start to feel sort of deflated, flat, lethargic. It's as if we kind of live our lives. Every day is a cloudy day. The sun can be shining, but somehow we are not finding the fulfillment that God has for us. It kind of could be summed up in one word, the word whatever. If you say, what'd you think of that movie? And somebody goes, whatever. If you say, man, I love that meal. What did you think of that meal? And they go, whatever. It just really means they don't care enough to even think about it and give you an answer. They're living in this bored place, this life of boredom. They might be busy, and yet they're caught up in this life of boredom. Boredom is when, take a look at the screen. Boredom is when we move through life with no real passion or purpose. We're just going through the motions. We've heard it, that little saying many, many times. We're just going through the motions. Clocking in, clocking out, cooking dinner, washing dishes. We're just doing the things that need to be done every day, and life is kind of boring. When we're going through those motions, it shows us what our passion level is, what our purpose level is. Studies show that when we live in boredom, it creates stress in our lives. Now we could say, our idea is, I just want to take some time off. I just want to go to an island where nobody else lives, you know. I just want to lay on the beach and just do nothing. And yet, the studies show that boredom creates stress in our life. We get bored and we start to feel like, man, I need to be doing something. I wish there was something that gave my life some purpose. I can only get up and lay on the beach so many days in a row before it starts to feel old. It starts to feel cloudy. I start to feel lethargic about it. I start to take it for granted, and I don't have that same passion about life. And when we allow that boredom to sneak into our lives and it causes stress in our lives, work feels harder. There are people right here this morning that we have jobs that are not that hard, but we hate getting up and going to work. There's no passion in it. There's no purpose in it. We kind of feel bored with it. When we let this boredom lead to stress, it creates cloudy judgment. We start making bad decisions. When we're not living with passion and purpose in our lives, when molehills turn into mountains, we see a little problem and we kind of lose it. Oh, I'm all stressed out and I don't know what to do with it. Sometimes we will numb out and we watch TV show after TV show after TV show. All right, how many times have you sat down with your clicker and you thought, I'm just going to watch an hour of TV, and it turned out to be 7 hours of TV, all right? No need to confess, it's okay. All right, how about this? You sit down and you just start to feel like, what does my life mean? There is almost a sense of hopelessness that comes with that stress. It's not that we need to be busier. It's that we need to feel a sense of purpose in our lives. The people that are living with passion and purpose for God in their lives are the people who have that sense of fulfillment, who are walking around every day saying, I'm here for a reason. The experts say that there's two reasons boredom shows up in our life. The first one is overstimulation. When we have so many things coming at us, TV, music, movies, internet, video games, cell phones, it's all running at us all the time. When we get in line, no matter what line we're in, if you're in line to get chicken after church today, or if you're in line at the DMV or wherever, if you're waiting for this person to check your groceries out at Walmart, what is it that we all do? We want to check something. Well, I'm going to check my Facebook and I'm going to check my Instagram, and then I'm going to try to figure out if there's something else I can check. And I check everything there is to check, and then I'm like, well, I might as well check my checkbook. All right, I need to check something. I need some stimulation. And so we're so overstimulated that we get bored so quickly. You ever sat down with your Netflix and you go, I just want something to watch, and you go through 6,000 TV shows. And you're like, there is nothing on here to watch. It's overstimulation. We've allowed all of that to run at us and consume us until now we're bored by everything. You know, your grandparents used to sit on the front porch with no phone and no TV, and they were happy. The neighbors would go by and, hey, Susie, and hey, Sally, hey, Jim, how y'all doing? Come on over and have some sweet tea. What's the last time you sat on the front porch and waved at somebody? Most of the time you're like, don't let them see you. Don't let them see you. Pretend we're not here. Let's sit on the back porch. Don't sit on the front porch. We're overstimulated. Stuff is running us and we're bored and we're stressed even by people we call friends. We're living in that place of stress. So overstimulation, experts say, is one way we get bored. The second way is undercommitment. We undercommit. You ever sign your cell phone lease and you're like, or you're purchasing it and you're like, okay, can I get out of this? And they're like, yeah, it'll cost you $12,000 and your firstborn. You know, it's just, you're like, well, I don't know if I should sign that. It's a commitment thing. I got to commit to it. I don't want to, but I will. But there are some areas of our life that don't require a signature or that don't require a legal binding contract, and we sort of step back and we don't truly commit. And the experts say it causes boredom in our lives because we don't have commitment to God. We're 20% committed to God. You've heard of the Pareto principle, 80%, 20%, 80% of the people do 20% of the work, all that stuff. And it sort of works, that principle sort of works in every area of our life. And we're 20% invested or committed to our family. We're 20% committed to work. We're 20% committed to church. Ends up we're 20% committed to God and wondering why we don't find fulfillment. But we're not fully committed sometimes to those areas of our life. We aren't committed enough to anything to find a reason to get out of bed in the morning. And God does not want us to live in stress from this boredom. He wants us to have joy and peace in our lives, but we have to make sure that we're doing this thing His way. John 10:10 says this, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." That's God's plan. Jesus said, I came so you could have life and you could have a full life. Not just a life, not just a life to endure, but you could have a full life. Not a life of boredom and not a life of stress, but a life of peace and freedom and fulfillment and joy and passion and purpose. We could have that, but we have to do this thing God's way. Now, I'm not going to say anything to you this morning you haven't heard before, all right? So if you need to leave, you can go, all right? But I want us to go back and look at what the Bible says to us today about how to get out of that funk, how to grow a little bit. Purpose is about action. So many times we do a lot of thinking about why am I here on planet Earth? Why are things not going the way I want them to go? And we have this ongoing conversation with ourselves that lasts for months or years or decades. And the thinking about it is not what changes our circumstances. The action that goes along with decisions that say, I want purpose in my life. I want passion in my life. I want fulfillment in my life. The action that goes along with that is what changes us. Now, we know God is the one who's doing it. Thinking is not enough. I'm going to live with purpose. I'm going to live with purpose if I choose to live with purpose. I'm going to live with a feeling of it being a cloudy day by choice. I can do something about this. I might not know God's perfect will for my life, but that's okay. I might not know where God is ultimately trying to take me, and that's okay, because that's the questions we ask. Why am I here? Where's God? What's God doing? Well, how's this going to turn out? And God never gives you a playbook for the future. He gives you a playbook for today. He doesn't tell you, well, 20 years from now, your life is going to turn out great. Or 20 years from now, you're going to have some really bad stuff happening. That's not the way he operates. Faith says, I trust God today. I want to do this God's way. I might not know all that my life will accomplish, but I need to be active today doing what I know I can do so I can give God something to work with. So look at somebody and say, give God something to work with. If you do not cooperate with God, you cannot expect his blessings. Now, we're all dealing with this, and I'm preaching this one to me this morning and you. We're just going to all grow together. Here's three things, and I want you just to open your Bible to Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, and we're going to look at one verse this morning. Ecclesiastes is a beautiful book, but it's an emotional book. It's up and down, and you got to be tough to read Ecclesiastes. I dare you later to go back and read it. It tells you there's a time to live and a time to die. Well, that's not what I wanted to hear. I just want to hear there's a time to live. Hallelujah. It says there's good times and bad times. Now, this one gives you and I some action to take so that our life can find some purpose. So if I want my life to find purpose, here's three things. Number one is this: take care of responsibilities that are mundane. We hate this one. We don't like taking care of things that are everyday. Mundane, just everyday, normal, habit, stuff like, we don't like that. But look at what Ecclesiastes 9 and 10 says. Every time you find work to do, do it. Ouch. Every time you find work to do. Now, we're going to read the rest of it in just a minute. Every time. See, when things in your life happen that require work, just do it. Just do it. Most of the time, we give it a few days. We worry about it. We fret about it. We get mad about it. We procrastinate it. We do all this, and then we end up having to do it anyway. The scripture here is saying to you and me, every time you find work to do, when there are things, responsibilities within your grasp, take care of it. I like this because it kind of is sort of unpredictable. It's like the nature of life is unpredictable. He said, every time. There are going to be things that come up in your life today and tomorrow and the next day in my life that we're going to go, oh, man, I wish I didn't have to deal with this. And here's what we do. We say things like, man, if I had a job like that guy, I wouldn't have to deal with this stuff. And there's always an if in there. If I had this, then I wouldn't have to deal with that. If I had that, I wouldn't have to deal with this. And we constantly are looking outside, and God is saying, look, when you find something right in front of you that needs to be done, do it. Don't just wait on it. Do something about it. No matter how well planned your day is, unexpected stuff is going to happen. There are going to be things that take place that we don't like. Now, but here again, it's about action. What is God calling me to do? It's better to do what I need to do now than to waste 4 days thinking about it. Thinking about it, you got to think about it some. The Bible tells us to do that, right? But then it requires action. We've got to step up and we've got to do something. I want to lead you through two scriptures this morning that I believe will help us in dealing with the little things that come up in our life and the responsibilities that we have to take care of so that we can get to the purpose and the passion in our lives. Zechariah 4 and 10 says this: do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. Don't despise small beginnings. We glorify big stuff in America. That's just what we do. The bigger, the better. The richer, the better. The more famous, the better. And that's not the way God operates. He said, no, look, don't despise the small beginnings, the little things that have to be done. There are times in our life when he's calling us to do the mundane and we're like, I'm bored with it. I don't want to have to do the little stuff. I don't want to have to take care of things at home. I just want God to show up and do big stuff. I want God to give me this great testimony. Listen, I hope that at the end of your life, your testimony is a little bit boring. I hope God didn't have to save you from drugs. If he does, thank God he did. Thank God you cooperated for him, right? Right? But I hope that you don't have to survive divorce. I hope that God heals that and you just go, we had a bump in the road 27 years ago. And God, we did what we needed to do. We took care of the mundane. We took care of the little stuff that we were not taking care of. And God answered that as we acted, as we did our part, God showed up. So when we say, I want God to work in my life, we got to take care of the little things. What are the little things in your life? You have to decide. Listen, if the sink, all right, can we just be honest here? We're just having family gathering this morning. If the sink stays stacked up 7 days a week at your house, that's a problem. If the clothes don't get washed, this never happens at our house, all right? I'm just guessing at what might happen at other people's house, all right? Just other people, right? No. We all live. My wife is going to kill me when I get home, all right? Pray. Your action when you leave church is to pray for me, all right? When you are not taking care of the little things, then God can't give you bigger things to take care of. Matthew 25, his master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. This is the story of the talents. One guy was given one bag of silver, another one's given two, and one was given five. And the master said, I want you to go, and I want you to use these. I want you to multiply it. I want you to make me some more money. He comes back, and the first guy had five. He had made a bunch of money. He came back with 10 bags. And the master said, well done, good and faithful servant. Then there's the guy with two bags, and he comes back with four. Well done, good and faithful servant. The guy with one bag said, look, I know you're kind of hard to work for, so I buried it. I just brought you back one bag of silver. I didn't want to lose it. And he said, you're a wicked servant. You didn't take care of what you were supposed to. When the guy with two comes along, he says this, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come share your master's happiness. It's about taking care of the little things. And when we take care of the little things, God can give us more stuff to take care of. Now, listen, nobody likes taking care of the little stuff. Just prayer time in the morning or whenever you want to do it. That's a little thing. Just take care of it. God can't make me a Bible teacher to the millions if he can't trust me to read my Bible in the mornings. God can't trust me to do greater things if I'm not going to do the little things that matter right now. If we go back to the Old Testament, we see King David and we read the stories of him fighting giants and fighting great battles. But when he started his journey, he was just a shepherd boy on the backside of the pasture taking care of some sheep. They said, look, you're the youngest. You don't have a lot of skill. Go take care of the sheep. Well, while he was out there, a lion shows up. And the Bible says he killed the lion that was going to try to eat the sheep. And then a bear comes and he kills the bear that's going to try to eat the sheep. Now, he's out there just preparing. He's getting ready for the bigger battles that are coming. He's taking care of the little things, so when the big things come, he's prepared. So one day, his father says, here, another little thing. Take some lunch to your brothers. They're out there on the battlefield. They're getting ready to fight the Philistines, and I need you to take them some lunch. Give me an update and come back. And he goes out there, and there's Goliath, the giant. And all the soldiers are just scared to death. They apparently had never killed a bear or a lion. They had never fought the little battles. They had never prepared. So when this big battle came along, they were scared to death. And little David is going, what in the world? What are y'all, a bunch of cowards? I don't know if he called them cowards. I would have. What are you doing? There's a giant out there. He wants to kill us. Somebody go do something. And they say to David, the guy that's been preparing, doing the little stuff that nobody saw, they say, shut up and go back home. Just get out of here, you youngster, you kid, get out of here. And David said, I fought a lion, I fought a bear, I'm prepared. And the Bible says he goes out and he runs at Goliath. He doesn't sit back and ambush him and hope it turns out well. He's prepared. He has done the little stuff for so long. He has lived with passion in the little stuff. He has lived with purpose in the little stuff that when this giant shows up, he's ready. Bible says he gets five rocks. He runs out onto the battlefield and he's swinging the sling around. Lets it go. Hits him on the first shot. The Bible says this is how confident David was. David knocked him out with the first rock and then took the giant's own sword and cut his head off with it. I mean, he was ready. He was prepared to go and do something. Now listen, when God is leading you, he's going to always lead you through little stuff before he leads you through big stuff. We want our lives to be filled with passion and purpose, and he's saying, I need you to take care of some little stuff. Here's number two. Approach responsibilities with passion. Read the scripture again. Every time you find work to do, do it the best you can. Not only are we to do whatever is close to us, the things that need to be done, we're supposed to do it with gusto. Whatever we do, we should do it with enthusiasm, with passion, do it 100%. All right, you got to love me after this because we're all going to heaven, all right? If God gives me a job and I'm just like, I'm going to do just the bare minimum to keep this job until I can get a better job, I am probably tying God's hands on the better job. If I will do my first job with passion, the best I can, you say, I hate mopping floors. Well, be the best floor mopper there is, and God can give you a promotion to somewhere else. But if I'm just pushing stuff under the racks and hiding dirt and I'm not doing my job, why in the world would God give me something better? I got to take care of the little things. I've got to have a passion for whatever it is that God is asking me to do right now. I can't wait until I get the perfect job to put the work in. I've got to start now. So we're leading up to taking it easy. God wants me to be able to take it easy, but I got to cooperate with him. I've got to make sure that my actions align with his will. If I believe in the sovereignty of God, I believe God has me right here, right now, on purpose, for a reason. If I believe in that the hand of God is guiding my life, I have to believe that he has me in the job I'm in right now, and when he's ready to move me, if I've been faithful, he will. I have to trust God in that. There are days that you have to do things that you do not like because God is preparing you for the thing that's coming. I've had some jobs I did not want, all right? I was a Domino's pizza driver. Yeah. Amen to that. Listen, I was thankful for it at the time, and I was glad when it was over, all right? And I was happy about it. Now listen, you may be in that job right now, but if you're faithful, God is preparing something. God is getting you ready. You may love working for Domino's. If you do, God bless you. That's your job. That's great. If it's not, that's okay too. I've got to make sure that I'm doing this thing God's way. Look at Jeremiah 20:9. I love this scripture. He says, but if I say I'll never mention the Lord or speak in his name, his word burns in my heart like a fire. It's like a fire in my bones. I'm worn out trying to hold it in. I can't do it. He's living life with passion and gusto. God has given him a word to speak. God has given him a job, and he's saying, look, I can't help it. It's like fire shut up in my bones. I need to get this out. He was approaching his job with passion. He was approaching his job with a desire, with a fire to do the best job he could possibly do. Another place in Scripture, in 2 Kings, there was a dead guy, and the Israelites are about to bury him. And some bad guys are coming, and they say, hey, let's just throw him in this tomb. And it happened to be the tomb of Elisha, and Elisha's bones are in the tomb. And when the dead guy hit Elisha's bones, he came back to life. Now listen, I want to live my life with enough passion that when I die, you know, somebody throws a dead guy in there, he is scared to death when he wakes up. Wouldn't it be great for people to recognize That you have a passion for God even when you're mopping floors? Wouldn't it be great for people to recognize your passion for God when you're taking care of your home that God gave you? Wouldn't it be great for the world to see a passion for God in how you take care of everything God has given you? When we do that, we're doing the same thing that Jeremiah said. I can't help it. It's just in me. It's just flowing out. I want the fire of God in my life is what Jeremiah was saying. When we have been blessed, we are given responsibility. And it won't be us taking on some heavy burden. Jesus said, my burden is easy. It's light. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. You don't have to, it's not going to feel heavy when you're committed to me. Now, here's number three. Remember, life is short. We only get so much time to do this stuff. At the best, you're going to get, I think I heard the other day, the oldest guy in the world now is like 118. And I was like, God bless him. That's a long time. But life is short. I bet you if you ask him, he's hoping to be 119. All right? We have to do what we're going to do now. Look what it says. Every time you find work to do, do it the best you can. In the grave, there's no work. There is no thinking, no knowledge. There is no wisdom. And we are all going to the place of death. That's grim. All right, I know it's dark. All right, but we only have so much time to do what we're going to do. Why wouldn't we make this time count? Why wouldn't we sell out to God in such a way that says life is too short and it's too fragile and it's too precious for me to take it lightly? Let me do this the way God wants me to do it. We only have a certain amount of time. There's an old joke that says, why is there a fence around the graveyard? Because people are dying to get in. We're all going to go that way. I don't know how old you are, but there is only a certain length of time we have to do what we're going to do. Why wouldn't we be sold out to God? Because see, we're not citizens of this world. We are citizens of heaven. Amen. We belong in a different place. He's asked us. He said he would give us life and life to the fullest, right? But we got to do our part by sharing the message, by being an example when people are around, by going the extra mile. This is not a dress rehearsal. We only get one chance to do whatever it is that God has for us to do right here on planet Earth. Soon enough, sooner than later, that moment comes for all of us. If we had 1,000,000 years on Earth, there would be no urgency. We'd just be like, well, I'll take care of it in 100,000 years. No big deal. We don't have 100,000 years. I don't want to be morbid, but the older I get, the more I think about what I'm leaving behind. I start to think about how my actions affect other people and how my actions are affecting and building the kingdom, and hopefully that will outlive me many, many, many years down the road. Up to us to say, let me do this the way God wants it done. Proverbs 27 says this, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring. Don't boast about tomorrow. Tomorrow, we may never see it. Again, I don't want to be morbid, but we may never see it. So whatever we're going to do, today is a day of action. Let's start living today with some passion, with some desire. Let's trust that God has a purpose for us in this whole process and not live bored and stressed because we're overstimulated and undercommitted. Why don't we live above that and don't just adhere to the customs of this world, but let's live above that in a way that says, I'm going to do this differently. Other people are going to look at you and go, he's a little bit strange, but he's cool. He smiles a lot. I mean, even when bad stuff happens, he prays a lot. But man, he's solid. She's got something. And when we live with passion, it changes the people around us and it changes the circumstances around us. And God is the one that wants to bless us in that process. He wants us to be able to take it easy. And listen, here's how we do it. We say, Lord, I want to do this your way. So many of us are fighting with God. We're fighting. We're trying to do it our way. We want to wait until things are perfect to truly follow God. And God is saying, that's not the way this works. I need you to get on board with me. I need you to get on board with me. me. I want you to stand with me if you would. I don't know what's happening in your life right now. I don't know where you are in your journey, but I know this. God has a next step for you to take. God has the next thing for you to do. And he's taking you somewhere. He's not going to tell you the end of the journey right now. He's just going to help you with the next step in the journey and then the step after that. And as we follow him, we start to get more comfortable in trusting him. But if you never followed God with some passion and some fire and desire to please God, it's a little bit scary. But when we say, Lord, I'm ready to unload all the stuff from my past and I'm ready to move into the thing you have for me in the future, I want to do this the way you want it done. I just want to do it your way, Lord. If I believe in the sovereignty of God, if I believe God is in control, then I can trust him in this step and the next step and the next step and the next decade and all the way through my life. I can trust him. I can trust him more than I can trust me. I know about me. I've let me down too many times to trust me too much. But he has never once let me down. He has always been there every step of the way. I want us to sing this song. I want it to be a little bit of a time of reflection, a little bit of time of worship. Just say, Lord, what is my next step? Where are you taking me? What is it you want me to do? And let's just let God speak to us through this song. Let's do it right now. Thank you, Jesus.
You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. You are good. Oh, you are good. Oh, you are good.
Today is a day of action in our lives. Procrastination is our enemy. Carrying the same task around in the back of our minds for a week, a month, a year, it is our enemy. God is asking us to step up in the thing that's in front of us to do it. Because it steals days from us when we live in this boring place, this boredom, this stress that comes with having no purpose. But when I have a purpose, I say, today is the day that where the little things matter. I'm going to take care of the little stuff in my life. I'm going to dream about what it is God has for me, and I'm going to start planning for the future to live in a passion with a purpose for God. God does not want you languishing in worry and fear. God has something for you. God has something for you. And as we step out, and it requires action. As we step out, God shows up. God just starts to work in ways that we didn't see. But I want to encourage somebody, quit worrying about many years from now and just think about today. Just think about today and say, what is it that God has for me to do today? You know what God might have you to do? God might have you mow the front yard. God might have you just cook a good meal for your family. God might have you just take those files to somebody else's desk instead of leaving them on the other floor where they have to go get them themselves. It might be something so simple, but it's David on the back 40 taking care of the sheep, just learning and growing. And one day you're going to look back and go, wow, I cannot believe where God brought me to. I can't believe what God did with me. I can't believe these good things have happened in my life. But you just got to stay in the process and just let God work. It's a process. If you don't know Jesus this morning, if you don't have a relationship with God, I want to share with you real quick. I like to say it's as easy as A, B, C. You have to admit that you've sinned, which we all have. You got to believe in Jesus, put your faith in Him, and confess Jesus as Lord of your life, A, B, C. And when you start that journey, you can pray that prayer in any way you want to. But if you do those three things and you just walk with the Lord, admit we've sinned, believe in Jesus, and confess Him as Lord of our lives, make Him Lord of our lives, it sets us in right standing with God, and it changes our future. It changes where we're going. It changes our eternity. So, Lord, we thank You today for all Your blessings. We thank You, God, that You love us and care about us. We thank You, Lord, that You have a plan in mind for every day of our lives. And, God, we just put You at the helm of our lives, Lord. We don't want to try to lead it. We want to follow You as You lead us. And we thank You for what's coming. We thank You for what's coming. We thank You for the good things that are in store. We thank You, Lord, that You are the one who carries the burden with us, Lord, that we can walk with You every day and see You miraculously take care of us as we just do what we can and You take over from there. We thank You. We love You. In Jesus' name, amen. Give Him some praise, everybody. Amen. Amen. I want to give you some homework before we go. One thing that you can do, and you have to decide, one thing that you can do to take another step in your journey with the Lord this week, what is it? What is the one thing that God wants you to do this week? It's probably been on your mind for months. It's probably just been hanging out back there and you're like, I don't know. Ask for somebody else or I don't want to do it. What is that one thing that's going to take you to the next place in God? This one little step. Lord, bless us as we go and help us to take that next step in Jesus' name. Amen. Love you, everybody. Thank you for being